You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Researching your ancestors can be kind of dangerous because what you find may make you proud or it may horrify you. For example, what if you learn that some of your relatives had six-fingered hands and a reputation for the evil eye? Liza Alter's quest to find the missing and often mysterious branches of her family tree took her to dusty courthouse archives all across Europe and Turkey and also into deepest, darkest Appalachia. The result is a surprisingly funny book called Kinfolks. It's just out from Arcade Publishing, and I'm very pleased you could join me today. Hello.
Thank you for inviting me, Leonard.
And your title bears some similarity to your best-selling novel, Kinflicks, but this is nonfiction.
Right. A memoir, I guess, sort of a hybrid memoir.
And that accent is obviously Southern of sorts, but you were born in New York City, weren't you?
No, my brother was, but I was conceived in New York City, but I was actually born in Tennessee.
And your mother was from New York. Your father was from Virginia. How'd you wind up in Tennessee?
Well, his parents moved from Virginia to Tennessee when he was 3 years old. My grandfather was a doctor, and he was invited to this new town to start the first hospital. So my father grew up in Tennessee and took us back there.
Isn't a mother from New York and a father from Virginia kind of volatile mix?
Sorry, kind of what?
Volatile mix. I mean, did they do the North-South thing?
Well, not overtly, but I really did feel with their very different styles that I had the Civil War going on in our household most of the time, and in my head, too, I might add.
How much did you know about your family roots?
Well, I knew a great deal about my mother's family because one of her grandmothers was the national genealogist for the DAR, so she had traced that family, I don't know, back to Romulus and Remus or something, but I knew almost nothing about my father's family because my grandparents, had 14 brothers and sisters between them. But when I was growing up, we never met any of them, which I thought was kind of strange.
Wasn't there also a claim that your, paternal grandmother was, that Pocahontas was an ancestor?
Well, we always heard rumors about Cherokee ancestry. So we used to bug her all the time to try to find out if it were true. And finally, one day she turned on me and she said, "We may be partly Indian, but it's not Cherokee, it's Pocahontas." So we thought this was hilarious when we were kids and we laughed and laughed. And then when I went on my quest to find the roots of the Melungeons, I started looking at a family tree of Pocahontas and compared it to my own and realized that it may very well be true. I'm not sure, but I think it is true.
What set you on that quest?
Well, the first I ever heard of the Melungeons was when I was about 5 years old in Tennessee. My brothers and I had misbehaved, and the babysitter told us the Melungeons were going to get us. So I asked her who the Melungeons were, and she said they had six fingers on each hand, and they lived in the trees outside of town in the caves in the cliffs. So they became kind of our boogeymen when we were little. And when I grew up and became a journalist, I did a feature on the Melungeons, and I read almost everything I could find that was written about them, which wasn't very much. And I learned that they were supposedly found living in our part of the Appalachians when the first European settlers arrived. And they were olive-skinned, and they claimed to be Portuguese. But everybody said it would be impossible that there were Portuguese in the southern Appalachians. And so all kinds of romantic theories had sprung up about who they were and where they had come from. And I actually went to a place called Newman's Ridge, which was kind of ground zero for Melungeon settlement, and tried to find some Melungeons to interview and couldn't. So I wrote my article about the fact that the Melungeons had vanished. And
have they vanished or simply try to hide the fact that they may be Melungeon?
Well, they had vanished off of Newman's Ridge, I think, because they had been sort of forced up there because of their mixed race status. And then
tri-racial isolates is the way they've been described.
Yes.
And there, you mentioned Portuguese, also African, Turkish, Native American. There are all sorts of theories, and there's a good chance that all of them do go into the Melungeons.
Well, that was the quest that I went on. I met a cousin who, about 20 years after I visited Newman's Ridge and couldn't find Melungeons, I met a cousin who told me that some of our shared ancestors were Melungeons.
So it's interesting that you'd been interested in Melungeons, not realizing that perhaps they were in your own family history.
Exactly. It made me wonder about, you know, some kind of genetic pull to something that you aren't consciously aware of having.
Some people have suggested that Elvis Presley had Melungeon in him.
Apparently, it could very well be true. His ancestors were from Western North Carolina and claimed Cherokee and Jewish ancestry.
So what happened with the Melungeons? Before the Civil War, some were labeled free people of color, but they were prohibited from voting, attending white schools, marrying white people, testifying against whites in court. So they were kind of treated like freed slaves.
Yes, yes. In those years, anyone with darker skin was vulnerable to being labeled free person of color, regardless of their origins. They could be Middle Eastern or South Asian or Mediterranean or Native American or African. And if you were labeled FPC, then you lost many of your rights.
Then I'm assuming that the lighter-skinned Melungeons try to pass for white because during the Jim Crow days, that just would have made their lives a little easier.
I think so. That was my impression from my research, that the ones who looked African probably went into the African-American community. The ones who looked Native American probably went into the Native American community, and those who could pass as European did so. And the only people who were left behind were those who were uncategorizable.
What about the six fingers? Was that a real characteristic?
Well, after meeting this cousin who told me that some of our shared ancestors were Melungeons, he showed me the scars from the removal of his extra thumbs, and he said that several people in our family had also had six fingers and had them removed at birth, and he said they were thinking about starting a six-finger support group. The research that I did into it indicated that it's often a trait found in inbred communities, but that it's more often found in communities that have Native American ancestry than in European or African communities.
A caller tells us that there are Ramapo Mountain people up in Rockland County who are of similar background to the Melungeons, and they came up there to work in the mines.
If they're the ones that I'm thinking of, it's the Jackson Whites. And there are some 200 of these groups all over the Southeast, as far north as New Jersey and as far west as Louisiana. And they all have different names, but they're a similar history.
What about last names? Are there certain telltale names that you might identify Melungeon with?
There were five names traditionally considered Melungeon: Gibson, Mullins, Collins, Bowling, and Goins.
Well, some of those are very common names.
Yes, yes, they are. And not everyone with those surnames, of course, in that part of the country is Melungeon. There are different branches of the different families.
What about the name Melungeon? Anybody have an idea of where that comes from?
There are about 10 different theories about the origin of the name Melungeon. The most popular is the French word mélanger, meaning mixed. But there are various other theories, one being Turkish melungin, meaning cursed soul or something like that. And then an old English word, mélangine, meaning crafty or undesirable.
Treated kind of like gypsies.
Yeah, yeah.
My guest is Liza Alter, L-I-S-A, but she pronounces it Liza. Her latest book is Kinfolks, Falling Off the Family Tree, The Search for My Melungeon Ancestors. It's published by Arcade. And you've said that everything you've written has been an attempt to work out who you are, but that was all fiction. And now here you started investigating yourself on another level, and it took you all over the world.
It did. It took me 10 years. I designed a series of 7 trips, and each one was to explore one of the myths about Melungeon origins.
You say myths. So are there
myths? Legends, or, you know, I wanted to find out what was myth and what was perhaps had a core of truth to it. And several of the myths did appear to me to have a core of truth.
Such as?
such as one theory was that the Melungeons were descended from a group of Spanish soldiers who were left in a series of 5 forts through the southern Appalachians. They were told to hold the fort. This was in 1567. They were told to hold the fort until ordered to do otherwise, and then their commanders left and went to St. Augustine, Florida, and abandoned them. So
this is before Jamestown.
Yes, 1567. So some people think that those soldiers intermarried with native women, and the Melungeons are descended from them.
But you went to Turkey.
Yeah. Well, it's a very complicated story about the Turks, but many historians believe that a group of about 200 Turks were deposited on Roanoke Island in the late 1560s. They had been slaves in the Caribbean, and they had been freed by Sir Francis Drake. And he was taking them back to England, and they got to Roanoke Island, and there were Englishmen who wanted to go back to England, and he didn't have room for them, so he supposedly dumped these Turks. So I did go back to Turkey and explore different clues over there.
Couldn't you have saved a lot of money, although you probably wouldn't have gotten as many frequent flyer miles, if you'd simply had your DNA tested?
Well, at that time, DNA tests weren't available, so when they did become available, I think I was one of their first customers. I jumped right in.
And what have you discovered?
Well, a type of DNA became available. In anyone's family tree, if you go about 9 generations out, that takes you about 1700 or 1750, and we all have 512 ancestors, and I only knew who 28 of mine were, regardless of my great-grandmother, who was the DAR genealogist. So this test promised to give not really a clear photograph, but a kind of hazy ultrasound of the geographical origins of those bare spots in my chart. So I tested myself and my family and other people in town who thought they had Melungeon roots. And I found that we were all quite a mix. I'm a mix of I am Northern European, as I was raised believing myself to be, but only 17%. I was about half Mediterranean, an eighth Indian, an eighth South Asian, an eighth Middle Eastern, and about 4% Sub-Saharan African. And the other people in town and in my family, not all of them had all the categories, and they had different percentages, but it was a huge mixture.
But it's impossible to tell whether that Central Asian, for example, or Mediterranean was Melungeon or from some other relative somewhere down the line.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it raised almost as many new questions as it answered old ones, but at least I had a few clues about those bare spots in my family tree.
Will you tell people that you're part Melungeon?
Well, I don't think that I really have a right to, I'd say, a Melungeon descendant, but I think the factors that created the Melungeons don't exist anymore. There's certainly racism in our country, but it's not that kind of virulent racism that kept those people isolated up on Newman's Ridge. And also, your identity is partly cultural. And I was not raised in a Melungeon community.
Well,
so
you couldn't find those people.
No.
But are there Melungeon communities that can be found?
Not really communities anymore. The children of the people that lived on Newman's Ridge are still around, and I know some of them, and they're wonderful people, but they've been absorbed into the mainstream now. One of them's a school superintendent, and one of them is a bank president, and one of them is a nurse, and, you know, they're just part of the general community now, thank goodness.
Liza Alter is the author of 5 best-selling novels, Kinflicks, Original Sins, Other Women, Bedrock and 5 Minutes in Heaven, and now a work of nonfiction, Kinfolks, Falling Off the Family Tree, The Search for My Melungeon Ancestors, published by Arcade. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Leonard.